You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Exclusively on Paramount Plus. Get ready to explore like never before.
Swiper, no swiping.
Oh, man.
Swing into action.
We need your help.
Woohoo!
Yay!
With a girl who put adventure on the map.
I don't think I can do it, Dora.
I'll protect you, Boots. Together, we got this.
Todos juntos.
Yeah!
Dora, the brand new series. Stream with your family now, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
In case anyone didn't know, can I start the episode this way?
Yes.
In case anyone didn't know, before every episode of What's Your Backup Plan, Olivia and I talk in ogre voices, like from Shrek, and say, get out, Miss Swamp.
Get out, Miss Swamp.
Welcome to this episode where we promise that will be the last you will hear of us talking in ogre voices. Oh, Olivia, how you doing? How's your week going?
I'm doing good. This week was a lot better than last week. You know, I think it's just all about owning the week and owning, you know, how you feel. And I just felt that fire like reignite. And so I feel real good. How about you?
I've had a week of feeling pretty productive. I'm nesting for sure, making my apartment feel really homey, which has been nice. And yeah, watching the news.
Yeah.
Watching the news and watching some more news. But you know what? We've got some hopeful news coming out this week, which has been really great to see. And on Sunday night, my fiance and I watched the Sondheim concert that Broadway World did, which was amazing. It was so great. It was really inspiring to see some amazing, amazing actors sing from their homes. It was almost like watching people's self-tapes, but like self-tapes from people who are like offer only.
Yes.
It was really cool. Yes.
Have you ever seen Tiny Desk Concerts?
Oh, yes. I love those.
That's what it felt. That's what it like looks like. And
yeah,
I love
for
it.
Sure. For sure. Yeah. Olivia, do you want to talk to our listeners about what organization we've chose this week?
So this week we picked the Actors Fund, and for all of our actor friends, they are probably very familiar with the Actors Fund, but for those who aren't, the Actors Fund envisions a world in which individuals contributing to our country's cultural vibrancy are supported, valued, and economically secure. The Actors Fund fosters stability and resiliency and provides a safety net for performing arts and entertainment professionals over their lifespan. It was founded in 1882, and they serve all professionals in film, theater, television, music, opera, radio, and dance through programs that address our community's unique and essential needs. Some of those needs are if you can't pay rent, others are doctors' bills, and a bunch of other things that are pretty essential for all of us. So,
especially right now.
Yes, especially during a time where we cannot work and a lot of us are losing our health insurance that we earn when we work. So please feel free to donate, and the link for the Actors Fund will be in our show notes.
Today's guest is actually one of the reasons why we chose the Actors Fund as our organization of the week. Joe Roscoe, founder of Built for the Stage, is actually donating all of his proceeds from new memberships to the Actors Fund until the end of this month. Joe is an actor turned personal trainer and small business owner. He is amazing, inspiring, and has really changed my life. I used to look at people who did those clapping push-ups and think, oh my God, I will never, ever be able to do that. And you know what? Now I can. Thanks, Joe. Joe is a bright light in the theater community. He has connected so many of us through his workouts and his positivity. We are so excited to have him on the show today. We hope you enjoy this episode. Hey, Joe. Thanks so much for being on the podcast today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So, Joe, for our listeners who don't know who you are, could you give us a little bit of background on where you grew up and how you got started working in theater?
Yeah. My name is Joe Roscoe. I'm from Canfield, Ohio, which is a little town near Youngstown, northeast Ohio by Cleveland. Youngstown's a very prideful city. So if you're listening out there from Youngstown, what's up, what's up? I grew up a three-sport athlete and fell into theater with a pretty funny story in the seventh grade and carried on with theater from there and ended up going to school to major in musical theater with a concentration in directing at Coastal Carolina, where I also played football. And while I was there, I became a personal trainer at 18 and started training myself and others, mostly cast members of mine in shows that I was in. And then lived the regional theater gig for a good bit, got burnt out during a show, and came back to the city and just said, like, I'm just going to chill for a sec. I started competing in fitness a little bit, and then it just kind of took over. And now my break, my chill break, as I just said, has been almost, no, it's been 6 years and 5 months. So, yeah. So sometimes I need some counseling over it, some therapy, because there's a little bit of like closure that needs to happen, because I really never pulled the trigger to stop, but so many opportunities just kept coming my way. Right. One of them being built for the stage, and here I am.
Can you tell us your story of how you fell into theater in the seventh grade?
Yeah. I love this one. So seventh grade is the first year that our school starts putting on productions like that. You can be in a school produced play. So the play was Much Ado About Nothing, the Shakespeare play. And I was not planning on auditioning at all. And my little seventh grade girlfriend at the time was like so into it. Like she wanted to audition. She wasn't into theater either, which I never really tell when I tell this story. But like the funny thing is like she wasn't even, you know, a theater nerd or anything. So she auditions and doesn't get cast. And I get cast in the show. And the whole reason I did it, the three-sport athlete jock, was just to be with my girlfriend. So here I am in tights and makeup, and I'm like, what am I doing? And the play was over, and I was like, never doing that again. My choir teacher, Kelly Skirch, she sat me down during a choir study hall and was like, just Joe, just give it one more chance. We're doing Guys and Dolls Jr. in the spring. I think you'll be great. So she got me to audition and I loved it. You know, Guys and Dolls, for like the place I was at in my life at that time, it connected with me. You know,
you were a gangster, a gambler.
Yeah. You know, dude, yeah. Dude shooting dice down in a sewer. So I later on got to be in Guys and Dolls professionally and come full circle with that. But that was it. After that show, auditioned for every show after that. My theater program at my high school was really, really developed, and like thankfully so grateful to them for pouring into the arts at Canfield High School. So I was able to get a lot of great experience there before going off to college.
So then how did you come up with Built for the Stage?
It's really just me, you know? Since I grew up an athlete and continued athletics in college and then afterwards with like triathlons and CrossFit and other things like that, I just knew that so many people say as actors, your body is your instrument. But when I would see actors train or had experience training in the past, none of them were really training like athletes. to my experience. And having been an actor and knowing the demands, I knew that I could help a lot of people with facilitating their fitness and the abilities that they need while being on stage. I think the biggest part of it, Bill, for the stage is tearing down the walls of misconception that you shouldn't or can't be training while in a show or rehearsing a show or auditioning a show. I go to this in a lot of my interviews, but it's like saying you're a pro basketball player, and when the basketball season starts, you're going to stop practicing basketball and you're going to stop training in your fitness facility because I'm quote unquote in season, or in the case of being an actor, I'm in my show or I'm rehearsing, you know, right. When if anything, all the more you need to be training, you need to be oiling the machine and priming it and making sure that you're not developing imbalances and so on and so forth.
It's kind of like when I do a show and I'm still in voice lessons, like it doesn't stop because I'm in the show, because then the muscle itself is like going to start developing bad habits if I don't implement that training consistently. So yeah, you're right. We should be doing that for our physical bodies as well, because that's also how we avoid injury.
Correct. Yeah.
I'd imagine, especially for your clients who are in long running shows too, the same repeated choreography, repeated movement can often make us feel imbalanced or lead to injuries as well. How have you created your programming with that in mind, with so many clients who are in Broadway shows or on tour?
Yeah. A lot of like single modality training, meaning isolations on just the one arm or one leg, so that we can really focus on evening things out. If, you know, let's say you have 3 or 4 dance numbers in your show that you've been doing for 2 years and the choreographer really kicked well on their left, and so that means all of your choreo was on your left. So doing that for 2 years and not working any imbalances out there can really hinder you in the long run. So yeah, things like that, core and trunk engagement and just strength overall is important. And then what I was going to get at when I was talking about training in season or training during the show is that you also have to know about the difference of modalities and intensities. So every day can't be a knockout punch. Every day shouldn't be a walk in the park. Every day shouldn't be just weights or just body weight or just yoga and so on and so forth. But really having the knowledge of coming up with a linear progression to have a plan over time to make sure that you're sprinkling all that in an effective way while still being a performer.
Wow. Yeah.
What are some challenges that you've seen actors face with things like motivation when they're working hard on a show or even when they're not?
Yeah. I mean, for everyone, a lot of the time it's just habits. If you don't have the habit or the routine instilled in you yet, you know, the hardest part with that is just pushing through that barrier for 2 or 3 weeks where it feels unnatural. The body is always wanting to stay neutral and stay quote unquote safe. That's kind of like its internal mechanism to do that. And if we can just push through that threshold, you can kind of create a new normal or create a new neutral. So the body, you know, will adapt and tell yourself like, oh, you know, this is cool, I'm able to do this. And it's really also the mindset of the long haul and not the instant gratification or results. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, if you're a young actor and you move to New York and in the first week of auditioning, I don't know, 3 or 4 times, you don't book a Broadway show, it'd be silly to be frustrated. It's the same thing with fitness. It's like you don't just show up one random day and put in a week's worth of effort and start complaining why you're not seeing results.
What makes you most proud of your clients and their achievements?
Oh man, there's so many stories that I've been fortunate enough to be a part of and to experience. a lot of it, just going back to the mentality, is when they say, like, I was in a deep depression, or I was at my lowest point in life, and bettering my fitness and health really turned around my entire life. Or, you know, I love how I feel and look, but not only do I love how I feel and look, but when I walk into the audition room, it just creates a new aura or a new presence that I didn't really have before when going into sing or dance. So things like that, of course, have just been really amazing to hear.
Yeah.
One of the things that I have loved most about Built for the Stage is that there's also this incredible online community, which you have created and supported. What has that meant for you, having a business, having that kind of connection with people?
Yeah, I knew that when I started doing this, I didn't want it to be about me. And I think that was the biggest part of it all, was that I was really gunning to build a brand and build a community, like you said, a family. I rarely say, you know, clients or whatever. I'm usually saying the fam, or, you know, actor athletes or whatever. So it goes back to the sports background of always being on like teams. And also then when you're in theater, your cast a lot of the times becomes your family, for better or worse, whether you guys are getting along or not. So the whole desire that I had was just to really create a movement, I guess you could say, of taking on this actor athlete mentality and then supporting each other along the way.
And then for our listeners, because I think all three of us understand that actors certainly are athletes, but why do you call your fam, you know, actor athletes?
Well, I call them actor athletes in particular, because they're now training like one. If they're following the program, they truly are, you know, they're not just going in, doing random stuff they found on YouTube, or just like, cherry picking group classes, which is all well and good. I would say that you can get a broad general, result out of that. Maybe not as good as following a well thought out plan under guidance. There's a time and place for all of that. I personally love it myself as well. But to do that only, you know, I don't recommend it. So being an actor athlete is truly, one, believing that you are, and then two, training and carrying out your lifestyle as if you are. So like, even with eating and rest, we know that in the theater lifestyle a lot, it's late nights, you know, your show gets out at 10-ish, and then maybe you haven't eaten since 5 or 6, if you haven't like prepped a snack for intermission or something like that. So people will go out, you know, and they'll drink a lot and just socially just chill, which is cool. But if you're an athlete, like a true professional athlete, you know, you're not doing that on a consistent basis. You're eating right, you're resting so that you can be at your tip top level of performance. And is it as fun as, you know, the other lifestyle I said? Maybe not. Or to some people, maybe it is, because show in and show out, you're performing at a top level. Whereas maybe you're having a great time at night, and then the next day you're kicking yourself because you flubbed your lines or cracked on the high note or blah, 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 because you're not putting in the work, or you're injured. You know, you pull a muscle or do something because you were over fatigued and not rested as much as you should have been.
I feel that in everyday life too. I mean, on days where I don't work out, maybe, or don't take care of myself or don't eat right, maybe I feel fine that day, but I wake up the next morning and don't feel like I'm on my game, able to go on audition or just do what I need to do around the city with the same level of energy and physical wellness. So I think that's really important.
I agree.
Yeah, I just would encourage moderation for sure. I'm definitely not, and you can attest to this, I'm not the I don't know what I want to say, like the horse and buggy whip trainer where I'm just like slashing my clients and being like this strict.
Throw away your bread.
Yeah. But in moderation, where you have to pick and you have to be actively choosing when you will and when you will not be doing this, that, or the other. You always have to be intentionally in control. So that's something I really harp on with my clients.
How have you sort of navigated actor athletes with different body types who are dealing with the pressure that comes with our industry surrounding looking a certain way? Like, how has that been a part of what you've been working on?
Yeah. The mentality or the idea of what I would call sometimes a Broadway body is not the aesthetic alone or the aesthetic at all. It first and foremost is, do you have a body that can perform at its peak 8 times a week and do the job that's asked of you? For some people, they're naturally, they look a certain way and that puts them into a certain type or category. And if they are cool with that, then what they need to do is just be at their best physical ability and health, so that when someone casts you or is thinking about it, they know, oh, so-and-so is solid. We saw them 4 or 5 times in callbacks. They're always able to do what we ask them to do. I know that when we cast them, they can do the job that we need them to do. If you're in other roles or types, and, you know, I'm saying this not because I'm saying I believe this is what a role and type should be. I'm just saying it in the sense of what you might see in the industry or in the business, that if you're striving for that, then, you know, cool. Then the aesthetic part, there is a part of it that has to be considered. I'll bring up, though, one of my clients, Ben Jeffrey, who plays Pumbaa in The Lion King. Ben is 6'4". And not sure of the weight, but let's just say he's not 170. He's not, you know, he's not going to play the lead in Hadestown or Moulin Rouge anytime soon. But all that to say, he's literally like an NFL defensive lineman. Like, he moves so well. When he sends me his videos of like the movements he's doing, because he has some injuries from that puppet. It's pretty gnarly on the person's body after a while. Yes, it's heavy, and it's heavy in the front. It's front loaded, which is not good for the body. But he sends me a lot of videos just to check up on his form and whatnot. And he's amazing. So when Ben goes to audition and they need a guy that's 6'4" and in the high 200s, him versus another person that big, you're going to look at the person like Ben that's athletically capable to fulfill the needs of the role.
What I love is that you also check in with people who have injuries from shows and that are show related to help fix that and to help make sure that it's super beneficial for them to continue to do a show 8 times a week. I know for me, when I was on the road with Wicked, I mean, my neck, I have injuries from holding props, the broom, all of that stuff. And so I would find it hard or almost defeating to work out for a short amount of time. But I think that that's, I haven't heard of anybody doing that in their custom workout programs or in any program the way you have for shows, and to make it so that, you know, they don't have to trade in what they do. And like you said, they're actually more consistent with what they're doing and more reliable.
That's, we'll go, once again, just to beat the dead horse of going back to like the athletic background, is that so many times in the midst of a season, you're going to be playing hurt, or you're going to be dinged up a bit, especially when I was playing football. And you had to know how to keep safely playing if it was the smart thing to do. And then also how to keep training to either work around it or to work with it. So that's been a big thing. Now that we're in this lockdown with the coronavirus, things have been a little different, or, you know, easier per se, but I definitely am still giving options for my family members to make sure that we're attacking those things that they need to be.
Can we talk about that a little bit? How you've been working with your clients to stay ready to return to their shows, or just ready to go back to auditioning, dancing, moving when this is all back to somewhat normal?
Yeah, like I said, I've been training people since 18 and I still haven't been able to put my finger on it. But there was another time in my life where I was having to program for people and had to do a quick pivot due to something. Whatever the case might have been, the second that this all happened, I knew that we had to do a 180 immediately. So I got bands and dumbbells and kettlebells and started videoing as many body weight, band, dumbbell, kettlebell movements as I could, and started to build an at-home program, or I should say at-home catalog of movements. Because when you're on the app, every movement has a video demo to it. So really the show has gone on. So we're still training really the way that we have been, but just with less toys available. But the goal of training like an athlete is still there. And myself testing out programming that I'm doing, it's still working. So that's been great. And yeah, I think the family thing too at this time has been all the more prevalent and just strong because of the hardships that we're going through. And the Actors Fund, I'd love to talk about at some point during this, but it's going to be May. It's going to be May. It's going to be May tomorrow.
Justin Timberlake, are you there?
Yeah, I love the new GIF with the muffled thing with his mask on. So since April 15th, actually March, it was March the 27th, I think. I told all of my clients that for the next cycle, the billing cycle in April, we'd be dropping to $8 a month because I knew, you know, we're actors. So the jobs at the show aren't there. The waiter, waitressing, server job's not there. Any public job is not there. So I knew times would be tough. So I dropped it to $8. And then the business with like all the expenses I have, we were like just floating with our eyeballs above the water. Mm-hmm. Or I guess our nostrils. We were at least able to breathe out of our nose.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're barely breathing. And then it got to a point where I was like, I'm not going to go business as usual and try to, you know, build up my clientele or expand the business in a capital financial way. But I'm going to build the brand of like, how can we help, or like, how can we not sell but help? So from, let's see, it's April 15th until the end of May, so it's still going. All the $8 subscriptions that people buy are going straight to the Actors Fund. So we've raised so far, I think as of this morning, above $1,300. And then our goal is to get at least $1,600. And that's good. The cool thing is that we're pledging it to be per month. So as long as the person is an active member, their money will continue to go to the Actors Fund every month. So that's been really cool for us. And just like, honestly, it's been great anxiety level wise, where we've been pouring in as a team to try to help this cause, that it's taken the focus off of us. Mm-hmm. And whenever you're helping others, it's always going to help you as far as anything goes. And for us, it's been our psyche. It's been our mental health to just concentrate on the Actors Fund as opposed to the business.
Why did you choose the Actors Fund then, of, you know, all the charities out there?
Yeah. I liked, just from like what I heard from my clients, a lot was rent problems, obviously, because they lost their job, or medical stuff like, oh, I think I'm sick, but I don't really want to go to the doctor or whatnot because I don't want to have to pay for this bill, yada, yada, yada. And the Actors Fund, with their COVID-19 relief portion, it directly lines up with that. They help with, I had a client, he couldn't pay his rent. The Actors Fund paid his rent for him.
Wow.
Or every, I think it's like every 50 or I don't know the exact number, but they do a nice job on the website. It's like every X amount pays for extensive dental work or this medical bill or that. So I chose the Actors Fund, to make a long response shorter. I chose it because it seemed to just directly link up with the most popular needs of my clients.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Well, and I think Olivia and I have talked a lot about how shifting your focus to service to others, helping others at this time has been so helpful for our mental health and our sense of security. Can you talk a little bit about where you would like to go with Built for the Stage, like what you would like to see a year from now, 5 years from now?
Yeah, totally. I was beginning until the world was put on pause to start to really try to develop a team of people that would be Built for the Stage trainers, so that not only the opportunity for actors to become more fit as actor athletes, but also the opportunity for other trainers to get involved. We have one right now, her name's Elise, that does our flow program. But in the future, we're looking to just kind of broaden our horizons a bit with that.
How did flow start? Like, what was the idea behind that in addition to your regular programming?
Yeah, so like you had asked with like the 1 year and 5 year plan and what I see in the future, I have a handful of different, I'll say, fitness or physical services I want to be able to provide, different niches, if you will. For me, I was really providing the fitness training of being like an athlete, which is strength, conditioning, and some flexibility and mobility. And I knew that I wanted to do something more with that, the flexibility and mobility part. And I happened to have an interview for a podcast on my podcast, Built for the Stage podcast, with Elise Needery, who was just in King Kong at the time. And I didn't know this, but we were just chatting and she had said she was teaching yoga for over 10 years. And you know, instantly I was like, oh, we have to talk. So we chatted and she brought an element of the 10 years of yoga experience and her experience as a performer and dancer. And then I brought the element of like, hey, let's not just make this yoga, but let's try to create our own identity as a true movement practice that isn't just about being flexible, but it's also being about being mobile and practicing injury prevention. So things that specific to the stage. So if you do flow, you'll see things like developing your splits or working on your back bends, but you'll also see things like single leg stability programs, whether that's for dancing or just working on those imbalances like we mentioned before, a lot of core and trunk work. So yeah, it's been fun to work with Elise on that with flow. The love and motion thing you mentioned, Olivia, is just a hashtag we're doing on Thursdays. It's what we call our active rest day. So like I was kind of saying before, every day can't be a knockout punch. On this particular day, I kind of just do a free choice for the clients to just move in some capacity for 30 minutes with no pressure, no expectation, just to get in motion and to move the body a bit.
I wish I could somehow take a picture of this, but for my Love in Motion, I've been spinning. I have like a fold up exercise bike in my apartment, and my dog has been trying to climb on my lap every single time. As I'm moving my legs, like going at it, she tries to climb on my lap, which is just truly hilarious.
You have to prop up your camera and just.
Oh, I will. I'll try.
You got to just set her up.
Oh, yeah.
So can we talk about, because I know that for some people who do have a different body type than, you know, quote unquote, the typical Instagram fit, you know, kind of mentality, what is the importance to you of your relationship with yourself, working out, and food?
Yeah, it's a loaded question. Where to start? I always start with the mind first off. And I think that's kind of where you're going with it as well, where like my day, I woke up and it just got immediately turned upside down and set me behind. And I have a couple of other interviews today after this. And I knew I wouldn't be able to get my workout in like I was supposed to. And then I said, you know what? I know that I'm going to be not miserable, but not who I normally am if I don't get this in. So I just programmed myself a 10-minute workout really quick. I literally did it looking at my clock about probably 50 minutes ago and got my bang for my buck. And now I'm feeling alive and amazing. So that's one part of it, is like strive after fitness for your physical and mental health, because we're meant to move. And we always, most of the time, will feel better after getting our body in motion. As far as food goes, you have to think about food as your fuel. So it can't be a reward all the time. Sometimes, like I said earlier in this discussion, that you have to be intentional with your choices. Sometimes it can be. But we have to try to establish a relationship that I'm eating now because my body is asking for it. And what it's asking for is proper nutrients that can help my body function at its most prime state. And how I can make sure that happens is by buying those types of foods, meats, unless you're a vegetarian or vegan, vegetables, nuts, seeds, some fruit, a little bit of starch, and then avoid sugar, alcohol, things in bags and boxes as much as you can. Going to the moderation, though, it's all about what your goal is. You know, do you want to be a world-class athlete? Okay, you're going to have to go above and beyond and make sure your macros are straight on point and you got to be real strict. Do you want to be just a functional, above average human being, then there's some leeway. Like on a couple of nights a week, you know, you can have that meal that you know isn't necessarily like on that list I just gave, or you can have those drinks. But when people start to get in trouble is they start to, one, not have the knowledge of what or how they should be eating. Two, they think eating less means that they'll lose weight when really it most likely doesn't. Another thing is that if you have it, you'll eat it. So a big thing with me is just get what you're supposed to get and don't get what you're not supposed to get and you're good to go.
Right.
and when you choose to get those things that you know are going to be your treats, I always advise my fam to get like single or double serve portions of that. An easy example is like ice cream. If you're a big ice cream lover, instead of Yeah. Instead of getting the big tub, you know, you can just get the mini cup that will get you one serving. And then if you ever want it again, then you're going to have to leave your place to go get it. If all this stuff is just there, and especially when anxiety is high right now for a lot of us, you know, because things are tough and things are hard and we're looking for places to channel that. And a lot of the time it'll be food or alcohol. We just have to not dangle the temptation right out in front of us, you know? I guess to sum it up, I would just say eat and practice fitness for physical and mental health, and always try to view your eating as fueling your body and not, you know, treating it or having it for pleasure, with the asterisk of there is a time and a place.
Yeah, no, you really nailed that, because it is such a multi-layered question. I think you really hit the nail on the head, and it's almost, you know, just not being afraid of it and just, you know, being responsible.
I was off on a summer contract 1 year, and I did a whole summer where I only shopped from the perimeter of the grocery store. So only things that were perishable, essentially. And you can make delicious food that doesn't come in a box or in a can. It was just amazing to see what I had been missing out on. So I think it's important to put things in our homes that are actually good for us.
Yes. Yeah, that's a great point on like what I was talking about with every meal doesn't have to be to please you. At the same time, it still could taste good. Like the food list that I gave, that general list, all of that stuff you can make amazing meals with. You don't have to think about it as like, oh, I got to have this bland chicken breast with plain broccoli and swallowing my spit for dessert, you know? Like it doesn't have to be like that.
There are seasonings out there. There are so many vegetables out there. Like it's the options are endless.
Right.
Love it. Joe, for our listeners who are interested in getting involved in Built for the Stage, how can they learn more and how can they sign up for a trial or to start a month with you?
Yeah. The first place I'd always just tell them to go is the Instagram page at Built for the Stage. From there, you can really access anything that we provide on the Instagram. We have a lot of like example fitness videos, or we got some recipes on there, podcast interviews, so on and so forth. And then you can give us a follow to be in the loop on that. And then there's the link in the bio that will take you straight to the $8 page to sign up for the Actors Fund subscription. And then also, though, there's a menu tab there, and you'll be able to view anything on our website from that menu tab, whether it's swag for sale or the podcast or a free trial, things like that.
Well, we are encouraging everyone who is at all interested in it to sign up while you're still donating to the Actors Fund. That is an amazing, amazing cause and project, we think.
Yeah, agreed. Thank you.
So one thing that Liv and I like to ask at the end of every interview we have is, what is keeping you inspired this week?
This week, and really every week, but especially this one because I tidied it up a bit, is my schedule. My schedule daily is really giving me the structure. Fiona, you've probably heard this a million times. I'm sorry. It's giving me the structure that I need in this unstructured world. So having the schedule gives me something to look forward to. It also allows me to not feel unprepared or surprised. And lastly, it doesn't make me feel lost, like I'm just circling, chasing my tail. So for everyone out there, no matter what you think will bring you joy or help you in this time, I would encourage you to write it out and structure your day as specifically as you might like to. Because now more than ever, feeling like you're floating in this time of abyss can be the enemy. It can be the worst thing that could happen to our mental psyche. So have a schedule. And that would be my answer for that. On my schedule, let's see, on my schedule this Saturday, it's going to be really nice out. So what I try to do I found this random sidewalk in Astoria in Queens with some like graffiti art, and we filmed some like demo videos there. So just getting outside a bit, obviously practicing social distancing and all of that, but just getting outside will be nice. Walking the dogs a bit. Yeah.
Very cool.
Love it.
Liv, what's keeping you inspired this week?
I have been doing a lot of that like inner work for me. So a lot of meditating and a lot of releasing what isn't serving me anymore. So that's negativity or impatience during a very crazy time, and allowing myself to just, you know, have the grace to stay patient and inspired even. Working out is another one, you know, how fitting for this episode. but just really owning my authenticity through this time and knowing that it's okay to be vulnerable and scared, but to also push past it and say, you know what, I've been through some stuff and we're going to go through more stuff, but this is not what's going to keep me down this week and or any week anymore. I'm good. I can take this into my own hands and really own it. How about you, Fiona?
Well, so I've been walking my dog, Scout, I live right by the water. So I've been walking her out on the pier every day. And I've started talking to my neighbors. We're all wearing face masks and we're all practicing social distancing. But it's been really amazing to just realize that we've sort of in the process of protecting ourselves, stopped connecting, and to reconnect and like talk to someone about how their day is going, how they adopted their dog, like where they met their spouse. Like I'm learning all these new things about my neighbors that I didn't take the time to even before this started. So that's been kind of inspiring to me this week.
Yeah, I love that.
Joe, thank you so much for being our guest on the podcast this week. It has been such a pleasure. And we hope that some of our listeners have been inspired to take their health and their mental and physical well-being into their own hands while we're all at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks so much. I love what you had said, Olivia, just about what I call it is just winning the day, just trying to win more days than we lose. And if we lose the day, quote unquote, just give yourself the grace, like you said, to move on the next day. So thanks so much for having me. And it's been a pleasure.
You're awesome. Thank you so much. Woo! All right, everybody. We are wishing you a week of optimism, fulfillment, and never sticking to your backup plan. Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you like what you heard, please rate, review, and subscribe. Also, follow us on Instagram at Backup Plan Podcast or like us on Facebook at What's Your Backup Plan. If you would like to donate to the Actors Fund, the link will be in our show notes.
Tune in next week for our interview with Spencer Glass of It's the Day of the Show, y'all. It's going to be a good one. See you then.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.